Our next topic is new caste system. So we are discussing towards a prologue to Dalit Studies. We have discussed about the major objectives, then introduction, then caste and caste system, what are the major objectives, and also the breaking out, their role in academics. So now we will discuss new casteism. It refers to the phenomenon or tendency of denying or delaying justice to the traditionally oppressed social groups by adopting measures and positions which are ostensibly radical and progressive. The best example of this is the land reforms implemented in Kerala, which gave farming land only to tenants, all of whom were upper caste. So Dalits were barred from becoming tenants since they were slaves. The land reforms of Kerala, by refusing to give farming land to Dalits, reduced them to the condition of Choma, the eponymous character in the Kannada novel Chomande Tudi or Choma's Drum, written in 1938 by K. Shivavarma Karanth. Choma, a Pulaya, wants to own some land and become a farmer on his own, but no one in the village will give him a piece of land for cultivation, as they believe that if a Dalit owned land and become a farmer, it would bring destruction on the village. So what do you mean by new casteism? Actually, it's a phenomenon or a tendency of denying or delaying justice to the traditionally oppressed social groups. So for that, they will adopt measures and positions which are radical and progressive. So denying the rights of or the denying justice to oppressed people. So one of the major examples for new casteism is the land reforms implemented in Kerala. So in land reforms, all the farmland were given to tenants because these Dalits were barred from becoming tenants because they are considered as slaves. They never given opportunity to become equal with that tenants. So denial of opportunity, or they were considered as slaves. So actually, here he says they were reduced to the condition of Choma. Actually, Choma is a character in a Kannada novel named Chomande Tudi or Choma's Drum, published in 1938. And this Chomande Drum, Choma's Tudi, was written by K. Shivarama Karanth. So this character Choma is a Pulaya and he wants to own some land, but nobody helped him with a piece of land for cultivation because those people believed that if a Dalit owned land and if he become a farmer, it will bring destruction to the whole village. So there is new casteism. Coming to the next paragraph, the Kerala Land Relations Act of 1957 betrayed the same caste prejudice as that of the villagers in Karan's novel. It did not take into account the fact that Dalits were prevented from becoming tenants by caste and slavery against their will. Thus, Dalit, the real tillers of the land, were given only house sites of 3 to 10 cents. This injustice was done and was legitimized using the revolutionary concept of class, philosophically bracketing the truth of caste and in the process achieving the victory of method over truth. So class perspective defined Dalit as agricultural workers who have only their labor to sell and therefore have no claim to any kind of property. So workers are workers and are not supposed to be proprietors. So whatever had happened in the society or whatever were done to these Dalits, it's actually very treacherous and a very sympathetic situation we have. So that is why here Eshwarasan says it's high time that we should give the politics of knowledge of Dalit studies in academics, should include that. So next example is the Kerala Land Reform Land Relations Act of 1957. There too, these Dalits were excluded. They were prevented from becoming tenants because they were only given 3 cents of land by the government just to build houses. They were never given the right to possess land. So if they possess a land and cultivate by their own, they will become tenants. So the government also never, or that Reform Act never supported the oppressed people. And how they define it? This injustice was done and was legitimized, was came to law. Using the revolutionary concept of class and the process achieving the victory of method over truth. So their own criteria, it become a law, and only 3 cents of land were given to these inferior people. So they were considered as agriculture workers who have only their labor to sell and no claim to any kind of property. So if they own property, they can cultivate in their own land. So they have no right for property. They have to sell their labor, their hard work, and they were never supposed to become proprietors. So it is a pity that this land reform, one of the most unfair legislations vis-a-vis Dalits, are claimed the world over as the most revolutionary, was this revolutionary for the upper castes, oppression for Dalit. But who are Dalit to contradict the judgment of the whole world? As to matters of taste and judgment, Dalits have no authority. One of the motivations during Dalit studies is the recovery of this authority denied by Savarna domination. Similarly, take the case of the response of the left parties. When Dalit members of parliament demanded that a Dalit be elected the president of India, so the left parties rejected the demand and defended their class image, declaring that there should be no caste consideration in electing the president of India. So if we check history, we can see numerous activities where these Dalits were excluded or they are merely considered as slaves. So whatever happens, it is said to be revolutionary. So what is revolutionary for upper caste? Their main is to oppress the subordinates, or this oppress the Dalit people or the inferior people. Oppression of Dalit. So one may ask, who are these Dalit to contradict the judgment of the whole world? So according to these Savarna people, they have no role or no voice to speak. They no authority to question all these things. So one of the motivations driving Dalit studies is the recovery of this authority denied by Savarna nation. So what is the major thing, what is the importance of these Dalit studies, why we are giving such a lecture series in Kurchi? That is, we have to recover our authority, that authorial voice. We too are human beings. We need to ask, we have to question all this. That is why it should be come into the politics of knowledge. It should be included. Similarly, take the case of the response of the left parties. When Dalit members of president demanded that a Dalit be elected the president of India, so what was their response? If they demand that, what will happen if a Dalit is elected as the president of India? So the left parties rejected the demand and defined their class image, declaring that there should be no caste consideration in electing the president of India. So actually they rejected the demand and also claimed that caste is not a bar, no caste consideration in electing the president of India. Next title is New Brahmanism or Hindus. Brahmanism, one of the oldest and most virulent colonial ideologies of the world, is being revived in the name of patriotism and nationalism. In politics, it takes the forms of Hindutva, Indian version of neo-Nazism. One of the reasons for the revival of Brahmanism as Hindutva is the emergence of backward caste and Dalit as political forces to be reckoned with. In the social field, neo-Brahmanism incarnates itself as the anti-reservation struggle and the call for income-based reservation. In the field of culture, it fascinates the masses by projecting the dominant Hindu tradition as the Indian tradition in the print and electronic media, by mobilizing science to produce privileged objects of culture for the Savarnas, who make them the focus of their identity and social relation. It is interesting to note how the telecast of Mahabharata and Ramayana reimagined modern India as a primordial construct. Hindutva holds sway in domestic and foreign policies in the form of an increasing intolerance towards non-Hindu cultures and towards languages other than Hindi.
So the concept of Brahmanism, or the Brahmanism, is considered as a severe term, and that is the most virulent colonial ideologies of the world. So actually this term is being revived in the name of colonialism and patriotism and nationalism. And also it is related to the term Hindutva. It can be said as a new version of Neo-Nazism. That is a revival of Brahmanism as Hindutva. Because the situation is entirely different from the previous years. At present, or in the contemporary world, these Dalits, or the oppressed caste, they are to have equal status with everyone. They have reservation in each and every fold. So with the emergence of backward caste and Dalit, this Brahmanism is termed as Hindutva. And these neo-Brahmins, they incarnate itself against anti-reservation struggle and also for income-based reservation. And also they shows or dominates Hindu tradition. They are projecting the dominant Hindu tradition. So everywhere they are dominating, that is Brahmanism is equal to Hindutva, and projecting the Hindu or Indian tradition. It's related with patriotism and nationalism, a new form of Neo-Nazism, and incarnates itself with anti-reservation struggle and income-based reservation. And also they are trying to project these in print and electronic media, and also consider using, that is mobilizing science to produce privileged objects of culture for the Savarnas, who make them the focus of their identity and social relation. They said they are defining, through these things they are defining themselves as the privileged or the dominant, a form of dominant that is equal to Hindutva, to the term Brahmins or Hindutva. So it is also noted that, you should also note that the telecast of Mahabharata and Ramayana, they reimagined modern India as a primordial construct. Primordial means an ancient construct. So whatever is displayed through various print or media or channels or newspaper or whatever we see or whatever we experience, it creates an image in our mind. So many times it will be constructed by someone else. Reality is entirely different. So this Hindutva controls all the domestic and foreign policies in the form of an increasing intolerance towards non-Hindu cultures and towards languages other than Hindi. So everywhere they have a control. These power structures in the society, they are controlling, an indirect control throughout the society. And also in the case of languages other than Hindi. So new Brahmanism or Hindutva. Brahmanism, one of the oldest and most virulent means severe, colonial ideologies of the world. It is being revived in the name of patriotism and nationalism. In politics, it takes the form of Hindutva, then the Indian version of Neo-Nazism. And one of the reasons for the revival of Brahmanism as Hindutva is emergence of the blackward castes and Dalit as political forces to be reckoned with. So in the social field, Neo-Brahmanism incarnates with itself as the anti-reservation struggle and the call for income-based reservation. So in the field of culture, it fascinates the masses by projecting the dominant Hindu tradition as the Indian tradition in the print and electronic media, by mobilizing science to produce, mobilizing means preparing science to produce privileged objects of culture for the Savarnas, who make them the focus of their identity and social relation. So it is interesting to note how the telecast of Mahabharata and Ramayana reimagined modern India as a primordial construct. So there also Ramayana Mahabharata, if you study, centered on certain rules, certain rulers, major kingdoms, Brahmanical approach. Hindutva holds sway, so means control in domestic and foreign policies in the form of an increasing intolerance towards non-Hindu cultures and towards languages other than Hindi. So everywhere, that is, the power structure is there. It is reflected in all aspects. So in politics, it takes the form of Hindutva. Then social field, it incarnates itself as anti-reservation struggle and for income-based reservation. Culture, it fascinates by projecting the dominant Hindu tradition and also the images to influence the Savarnas and to create their identity. And social relations through print and electronic media, and also to the telecast of Mahabharata and Ramayana to reimagine modern India. And also this Hindutva controls the intolerance towards Hindu cultures, non-Hindu cultures and languages other than Hindi.